All right, so Parshas told us, first I want to dedicate this learning for the Refuah Shleima of Malka Esther Bas Tzipora. The woman is in incredible condition. So Parshas told us, this is an interesting Parsha, as it serves as a bridge between Abraham and Yaakov, right? Most parashas deal with Avram Yitzchak, Yaakov, but Toldos begins, really, as we'll soon see, with the death of Avram. Yitzchak's sort of building of his family, and Yaakov growing up and eventually running away. I thought that would take a few minutes to begin by discussing some of the themes of our Avos, some of the lessons that we can draw. So we know, we're all like aware of the models that people use in describing the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? Everyone's familiar. Avram represents Chesed, Yitzchak represents Gvura, and Yaakov represents Teferes, which is an idea of blending both Chesed and Gvura. Okay. There's another model that is explained, that, you know, Avram represents Chesed. Yitzchak, you know, is the description of Avoda, represents Avoda as the Karban, the Olat Tumima. And Yaakov, as we learn in this week's parsha at the beginning, goes to Yoshev Olal, represents Torah. So, in fact, when you think about the two models of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, one can understand the two of them sort of in light of each other. Now, Avram is Chesed, Chesed, Chesed. Yitzchak being Gevura, Yitzchak being Avoda, is also well matched as what is, you know, Gevura and Avoda. Avoda is Yitzchak giving himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The literally mezgaber on everything about him and giving himself entirely over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Gevura, which is represented by his main trial of Avoda, of giving himself over as a karban, sort of comes together. What then flows is that Yaakov, who represents Teferes, which is the Mizug, which is a combination, apparently Yaakov, who represents Torah in the second model, is the idea that Torah is what brings Chesed and Gevura together. Torah balances out the Midas of Chesed and the Midas of Din. The idea of helping others and being completely committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we balance those two attributes? How do we know what the right balance is? How do we know how much time we should be spending, how much of our focus is Beinonu Mechaver, and how much of our focus is Beinonu Lemakom? So that blend is through the lens of Torah. And Torah, which Yaakov Avinu embodied, was the blend, was the teferis of both Chesed and Gevura. And you find different, you know, themes based on these notions of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. One thing I just saw recently was the Sasemes, when he talked about the Akedah, how the Akedah was Avraham shechting about to slaughter Yitzchak. Right, so it says the Sasemes in a beautiful way. It says, you know what that is? That's Chesed over Gura. It's a Chesed over Din. Yitzchak not leaving Eretz Yisrael, right? Yitzchak not leaving Eretz Yisrael, but no, because he was the Karban. So I think there's an idea there that the Avos were in Eretz Yisrael and then left. But Yitzchak stayed. Because Avraham, Chesed, and Yaakov, Torah, were implanted into Galus, into the Chutz La'aretz, and were needed there. But Avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, never made it to Chutz La'aretz. And even Tefillah, which is parallel to Avoda, as we were taught, sort of comes through Eretz Yisrael. So just to get a sense of the three Avos and their roles, what I was thinking, as I was just thinking about the Parsha and Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, then in fact, what's interesting is the three Avos correlate to what the Mishnah describes in the beginning of Avos as the three Amudim, right? The Mishnah says in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Al Shlosh HaDvar Ma'olam Omeid, Al HaTorah V'Al HaVodah V'Al Gemilas Chasad. Perhaps there's an idea that these three Amudim really are three Avos. That Torah, Yaakov, right, Avodah, which is Yitzchak, and Gemilas Chasadim, which is Avraham, are the three Amudim, the three pillars that the world stands on. In fact, I saw a similar idea in the Gur Arya, the Maral explained in last week's parsha. Strange that, you know, the whole story with Rivka and Eliezer trying to figure out who's going to be the maiden, who's going to be that girl that's going to marry Eliezer. And finally, you know, he gets to the well and he's waiting and Rivka appears. And we know the whole story. And when he sees that things are going well, he says, okay, you know, Osa Chachta, right, you're the one. And he pulls out a Bekel of Gugola, Shnei Tzmidim, on Savara, right? He gives the Bekel of Golgolas, he gives the Bekel, he gives the Shnei Tzmidim, he gives the Sarazah, Mishkalim, and Rashi explains what are these things. So Bekel has to do with the Machzal Shekel, which is a Bekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Shnei Tzmidim, Rashi explains, is a remez to the Shnei Luchos, right? Sarazah, Mishkalim is a remez to the Saras Adivnus, right? So that's Rashi. So the question that people ask, and actually recently heard this as well, What was he doing? No, Joshua, what was he trying to do here? Like, give her a break. Like, this is the first time you met. Like, you know, it's like the first date here. Like, it's like very intense. You know, like, what's going on? So the morale explains in the most beautiful way. He explains that when he saw that Rivka was a tremendous balas chasim, she was very excited. He was very, very excited. But the message that he was sending Rivka was that, you know, chesed is not all. And that chesed is one of the three pillars. But there's the Bekel HaGolgolos, which was meant for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan, the Makom HaKrava, the Makom HaVoda, the Makom HaTzvila, the Shnei Tzmidim, the Deluchos, there's the Torah, there's the Asar HaZah Mishkalam, the Asar HaDibros. Says the Maharal, that you have, you're good, it's good, you got the chesed. But remember, there's a lot more to Klal Yisrael that needs to be developed and that you need to be part of. The Avodah, the Torah. And that was the message, the subtle message that Eliezer was sending Rivka. And then he says, quote, and then the end, the quote is, I thought it was very powerful, it's exactly this point. He says that Yerusha b'Yisrael mishlosha avos. That these three amudim are a Yerusha from the Shlosha Avos. Me Avraham Gmilas Chasadim, Yitzhak Avodah Shikrav Asam L'Karba, Me Yaakov Torah Yoshev Ha'ala. That in actuality, the importance of developing Klal Yisrael from the three Avos was the idea of developing these three amudim of Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed coming from Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov and sort of coming together. And then in fact, the Avos who embodied and represented these few messages were able to be Morish to us, right? To give us as our Yerusha these three parts, these three elements. Okay. It's interesting that I noticed in the language of the Sasanas that when he refers to Avram Avinu, in a very interesting context, he's talking about Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu davened for the people of Sodom. So in that discussion, so he says something very interesting. He says that why did Avraham Avinu, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu consult with Avraham Avinu? Why was he consulted with? Says the Sfasemes, so you know, no one should think that there's, you know, something going on here, and that the Midas Hadin is very strong without any blend of anything. Says the Sfasemes, that Hashem consulted with Avraham Avinu, who was again the Amud HaChesed. And he says that even to this day, Hashem, in his Pamalia Shamala, before he does anything to Klal Yisrael, it's an unbelievable line, before he does anything to Klal Yisrael, he goes to be consults with Avraham Avinu. That everything that happens in this world is done through chesed. The point is that the Sassamus refers to Avraham as the Amud HaChesed. It's the Amud HaChesed, the pillar of chesed. The Amud HaChesed. Avraham is the Amud HaChesed. Ashlo Shadvarim Ha'olam Omeid. And that the three parallel the others, and that Avraham was called the Amud HaChesed, the pillar of chesed. And that we know the Gemara teaches in Masechet Shabbos that there's a notion of machlokas about chesavos, right? Tamu zuchesavos. Did the chesavos disappear? Did the chesavos not disappear? And there's a whole discussion, and it seems to be a machlokas. And Tosus points out that even if you hold tamu zuchesavos, maybe not entirely, maybe it's chesavos but not brisavos. So perhaps the idea is that the Tosus is saying, and that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the world stands. The world stands to this day on Tzchosavos. And that the world stands on Tzchosavos, the world stands on Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed. That's what the world stands on. The world stands on. Everyone could wait a little bit? Okay. If everyone could wait, it looks like the goods, some of the goods have come. Okay, so I think that's an important point. So, when we talk about an amud, we talk about a pillar, right? So we're talking about a pillar. So that means the world stands on the pillar of, let's say, Torah. So Yaakov in this week's parsha, Yosef Ahalim, is the pillar of Torah. Does that mean that, you know, that was it? Clearly, Yaakov Avinu was a lot more than Torah, and clearly Yitzhak was a lot more than Tefillah, and Avraham was a lot more than Chesed. And each of them had support of the other two. But mainly, the idea is that they had one that stuck out, that really was clear. So let's begin this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu, right? Torah, Tefillah, Chesed, Yaakov Avinu, start with Torah. Vayigdulu ana'arim, vayiyesav ish yodea tzayid ish sadev, Yaakov ish tam yoshev olhalim. So what does the Mefarshim say? What does Yoshev olhalim really mean? So the Mefarshim, my uncle says this, and Targum Yonasan and Rashi all point out that it means that there were Yoshev, as uncle says, he was Yoshev, Ma'ashu's base ulfana, he was in the base medrash, right? Targum Yonasan also says he was in the base medrash of Eiver, he was Dorish Harav, Lufnei Hashem, right? Everyone knows that this wasn't just an ordinary tent, this was a tent of Torah, right? That's how it's explained in Rashi in this week's parsha at the beginning. Also, when he explained Yoshev Ohalom, there's Ohalo Shel Shem V'Ohalo Shel Eden. Right? So Yoshev Ohalom, Yaakov Avinu would go and learn the tent of Shem and the tent of Eden. Okay. What exactly was this learning that was done in the yeshiva of Shem and Eden? There's a very famous pshat which I want to share, but I want to talk about in more detail, which is, you know, Yaakov Avinu had his grandfather. He had his father. You can just imagine, right? Their great understanding. We know the Gemara says in Yuma that they learned the entire Torah. Avraham Avinu kept every single mitzvah. Right? So what is this idea that he learned and he left his father and his grandfather, he learned in the yeshiva Shem Ve'Eirim? What is that? So Rav Yaakov has a famous Pshat, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, where he explains that the Torah that he was learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eva was the Torah of Golos. The Torah a Yid has to know in Golos. The Torah a Jew has to know in Golos, right? So, as we know from the famous story at the end of the parsha, when Yaakov runs away, and Rashi makes a calculation, right, based on Yishmael when he died, Yaakov makes a calculation that there's a missing 14 years, right? So, where was Yaakov during those 14 years? Rashi says, oh, that's when he was in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eva. Or he was in Yeshiva Sefer, right? He was learning alone. And Rashi says in the end of the parsha, Nimtza Yaakov k'shemes Yishmael ben Shishim v'shalosh shanim, l'mad b'mikan sh'nitman b'beis Sefer arba'as v'shanim. And then he went to Chas. Right? So it says Rav Yaakov that he was learning what it means to be a Jew in Galus. He was learning what it means to be a Jew surrounded by Goyim and surrounded by all sorts of distractions and all sorts of things that we're bombarded with, that being surrounded by Goyim in an environment which doesn't necessarily foster spirituality and growth in Torah. And Yaakov Avinu had learned the Torah of how to deal with that. And he learned it not from his father, but rather from Shem and Aver. As we know, Shem lived in the door of Mabel, right? He knew what it was to live in the door of Hashchasa, what it means, Kihishchas is Darga Arts. He knew what it meant to live amongst people who were lowlives, who lived lives of corruption, of thievery, of Gila Rayas, of Zara. That was the life that Shem was surrounded by. And he was able to be different. And he taught that message to Yaakov. Aver lived in the door of Flug, also a door generation, which was also a terrible generation that tried to rebel against God. And he went to learn from Aver how to deal with those surroundings. So when Yaakov was going to Golos, going to Charan, he stopped off for 14 years to learn that Torah. And that's what Rashi says later on in Bereishis, that Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef Torah. And what Torah did he teach? Rashi brings down, he taught the Torah that he learned in Shem Vayim. Yosef, of all the Shvatim, needed to know that Torah. Needed to know how to deal with Mitzrayim. How to deal with being alone. Literally, alone. Being the only Jew surrounded by millions of guns. That was the Torah that he learned from his father, from Yaakov. So I just wanted to point out the following. I don't know if it's a problem, maybe it's a question. You know, we're taught from Rashi that when did Yaakov Avinu learn? By Shem and Aver? When did he learn in the Yeshiva of Aver, or the Al-Sheikh says, Shem and Aver? When did he learn there? He learned there when he was running away from Esav. That's how Rashi explains it. No, Ariel, that's how he explains it. He explains he was running away. So he wanted to step off. Nitman, you dealt with Shem. So what bothered me is, I don't really understand. Rashi, in the beginning of the Parshas, told us as Yoshev Ohal. What does Yoshev Ohal refer to? It says Rashi, Shem V'Neva. But 1 second. We're just introduced to Yaakov Avinu. He's a young kid. How old is he now? No, how old is he? How old is Yaakov at that point?
Less than 13, thank you.
Right? Meaning he was very young. But he didn't learn Shem V'Neva. At least we don't know about that. Rashi says, when did he learn? Rashi at the end of told us, says he learned when he was running. So why is Rashi describing Yoshev Ohal and Shem V'Neva? I mean, that's a little bit premature. So what is that? So, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe Shem V'Neva was like a local based medrash, maybe he was there. So I'm not sure, doesn't sound like that. Where was the Yeshiva Shem V'Neva? Anyone know? Someone should know. Where's Yeshiva Shem V'Neva?
Tzfat.
Of course, everyone knows Yeshiva Shem V'Neva and Tzfat. But the last time I went to visit Tzfat, you go to the Yeshiva Shem V'Neva, right? Right? It's this little place, you go in a cave. Right? Everyone remembers Yeshiva Shem V'Neva from Tzfat? No. You never went there. You should go back. Okay, so the truth is not clear. There are different legends. Where is Yeshiva Shem V'Neva? I was trying to figure out myself, where is Yeshiva Shem V'Neva? I knew about the Tzfat when I'd been there. So I sort of try to, what do I do when you want to know where something is? What do you do?
Research.
I Googled it. So where is Yeshiva Shem V'Neva? So I Googled, where is Yeshiva Shem V'Neva? So there was an interesting suggestion by an archaeologist and a historian that they dug up a place in Syria called Ebla. Look it up. Ebla. And based on what they found, there's a strong theory in the words and the things that they found, that Yeshiva Shem V'Neva was actually in Syria. Which it's not crazy, because Avram was going to Haran. Where's Haran? Haran's up north. Haran was in Turkey. Haran, most people assume Haran was north.
I thought Haran was Mesopotamia.
Yeah, but it was north. It was north.
That's exactly.
North. That's again from the research I've done. A lot of people think that's where it was. So that's not crazy. But the point is that I don't know if it was like a local yeshiva. That's really what I'm just pointing out. That I don't know if it was like the local in-town yeshiva that you went to. Okay. So now, what exactly is this? Why is Rashi saying Yoshev Ohalim refers to Shem Never seem to have come much later? So I think that Rashi is saying something important. That of course, he was Yoshev in the Beis Medrash of Avraham and Yitzchak. It goes without saying that he was Yoshev in the Beis Medrash of Avraham and Yitzchak. But the reason why Rashi emphasizes, the Torah emphasizes, Yoshev Ohalim, because there's something that the Torah is trying to bring out, that Yaakov Avinu learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ev. There's something different, something unique that the Torah is bringing out that he learned in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'ev. And I think the point is like this. When Avram and Yitzchak were teaching Yaakov Torah in their yeshiva, in the local yeshiva, the local day school, so you had Yaakov, who was the prize and only pupil, and he was sitting there and no one was disturbing him, and he was in Ishtam, and everything was great, and everything was very, very quiet and supportive. And he was learning about Smadha. And it was fantastic. And he was Yoshev in the Beis Medrash, and he became a great Talmud Chacham, and he was the Amud HaTorah, and it was fantastic. But that's not what we describe when we talk about Yaakov, because that Torah of the Beis Medrash, when everything is quiet, when things are calm, so that's not gonna cut it. Because life is not always calm. Life is not always like, okay, you're relaxed, and no one's bothering you, you're in this very supportive environment where you learn Torah. And Rashi's explaining that the description of Avram Avinu as a Yoshev Ohel as becoming a Talmud Chacham, becoming a person of Torah, not just because he learned when he was younger with his family, with his grandfather, with his father, but Rashi's saying that he was a Yoshev Ohel, that even when he was on the run, he was running away from Esav, he was worried for his life. He had to go to Golos. He was running away. He was in Syria. Maybe stop. But he was away far from his family. And yet he committed himself to learn 14 years with tremendous, tremendous commitment. Tremendous commitment. That's the Yoshev Ohel. That's the description of Yaakov Avinu as a Yoshev Ohel. Because to learn and everything's great and everything's easy and there's nothing else going on. Okay, that's no kunst. That's no chah. To be able to learn on Friday when everyone else is doing a million other things. There's so many other things that you could be doing. You could be getting an internship on Friday. That's where it's at. Get an internship on Friday. Or whatever else you want to do. You know, play basketball on Friday. Right? You could have been playing basketball. Right? And you're here. I'm just saying. But the idea being that when there's so many other things that are pulling at you, when you're in exam, and you're running, and you're on the run, and then you're Yoshev, that's the description of Yaakov Avinu, as a Yoshev Ohel. That's the description. And if you look, the Medrash points out later on about the Pasuk, Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov. What was that? Oh, what is Bilam referring to? He says, Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov. How awesome, how beautiful are your, how good are your tents, Jacob. What is he referring to? Says the Medrash. You look it up. Shmos, Paraglam Chas. Elu aholim shel Torah shel Yisrael mesivin bohem. Umashim shechina b'neem. What is this Ohel Yaakov? Says the Medrash. This Ohel Yaakov that's being lauded by Bilam is the Ohel shel Torah. The Yoshev Ohalim. The Ohel shel Torah, and to bring it all together, and to bring it to the next level. What was Bilam looking at when he saw Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov? So an idea which I had read a long time ago, and it's a beautiful idea. And it's sort of this idea with a little bit of a different spin. Is that what he was saying, what he was looking at? He wasn't looking at the Beis Medrash. the Beis Medrash, that's not what he was looking at. Because Olel means a tent. It's flimsy. It's temporary. Okay, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, that's not redundant. That's the Mishkan. Mishkan is a dwelling place. That was the place where you dwell. Those Dubais, the base of Medrash, you dwelled, you were there. It was the Mishkan. But he begins not Matovu Mishkan Asecha Yisrael. He begins Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. What was he impressed by? What was he impressed by? Chevri was impressed, as the Medrash explains, by the Ohel Shel Torah, the Ohel Shel Torah. The idea that in the Midbar, Yaakov Avinu, even when on the run, when on the move, when moving around, not having that sense of permanence, being on the run, running from class to class, running all over the place, having a million things on your head. And yet, as the Medrash explains, Ohel Shel Yaakov, that was the Ohel Shel Torah, that blew him away. That blew him away. Atovu Alecha Yaakov, that blew him away. Wow, that's amazing. Mishkan Asecha Yisrael is nice. It's nice. But Matovu Alecha, you'd have Matovu Alecha Yaakov, it's crazy. That, like, when you're pulled in millions of directions and you can still focus. And we know that Gedolim have done this over the years, are famous stories. Stories of the Brisker Rav, when everyone knows that story, when Vilna was being bombed and he was learning and he was getting shir, and many stories of when people are just distracted and everything's going on around them, and yet they could commit themselves to Torah, and Yaakov Avinu running away from Esav on the run and being sought after, be killed. That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing. And that's what Rashi's saying, Yoshev Ohel, not Yoshev Beis Medrash, not Yoshev in the Mishkan. Yeah, he learned in the Beis Medrash of Avraham and of Yitzchak. But what characterized Yaakov and his greatness, and what made him the Amud HaChesed, was Yoshev Ohel, was the Ohel of Shem and Eva. Many years later, we're describing him as based on many years later, right? Many, many years later. 50 years later. That's how he's described, that's how he's known. He's known as someone who's Yoshev Ohalim, someone who dwelled in the tent of Torah. So that's Yaakov. That's the Amud HaTorah. Torah. Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omrei Olam Torah Olam Avodah. Let's talk about Avodah. We're introduced in the beginning of this week's Parsha, right, with the story how Yitzchak was childless. Yitzchak and Rivka are childless. Right? And we're taught that of course it was many years and it was very difficult for them. And the Pasuk writes in the beginning of told us that Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenocha Chishta Ki Akarahi Vayyaser Lo Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishta. Vayetar Yitzchak, what does that mean? Vayetar Yitzchak? What does it mean? What does it mean? Who? Vayetar Yitzchak? What does it mean? No? Vayetar? Please, someone. What's the deal? Right? He died. Vayetar Yitzchak, he died. Right? He died. He died l'noch chishtak ki akari. Vaye aser lo Hashem. What does that mean? Vaye aser lo Hashem. What's that expression? What's that expression of Vayyaser Lo Hashem? So what, he was davened to, or he heard his tefillah, Vayyaser Lo? It's a very strange expression, right? So the Medrash picks up on that and says an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable. This is not much unbelievable. It says the Medrash the following. Vayyaser Lo Hashem, Rabbi Levi Am Masha. The following Masha. Leben Melach. To Ben Melach, Shahechoter Al Aviv. Lito litra shelza. He was digging under the palace to sort of reach a hidden buried treasure under his father's palace. Vayezachoter mibifnim, vizechoter mibachutz. And as he's digging from the outside, trying to get to that place, that special place where the treasure was, on the inside, the king is digging, is being chota. And Rashi himself points out that there's an idea of vayetar, as the Medrash explains, comes from the word chatirta, which means kasham. So I think there's something very powerful that the Medrash is bringing out. So it's a beautiful imagery of what tefillah is about, and what Yitzhak was doing, and how tefillah works, and what is the purpose of tefillah. Based on this medrash, what is tefillah? Tefillah means that we're digging. And we're digging under the wall. And we're trying to get to the destination. And that destination is, of course, we're trying to get to that beautiful place where we can meet God. And we're digging under those walls that surround us and that block us and our machitos and our machitos shel barzel that surround, as we build those walls of separation that separate us between us and Hashem. And the only way we can get past that is we dig through tefillah. But the imagery is so nice, because what's going on at the same time as we're digging? Rav, what's happening?
Hashem's digging
on the other side. And that as we're trying to get closer to Him, He's trying to get closer to us. That was Yitzhak, the Amrat Tefillah. And that, I think that's really what Tefillah is all about. Tefillah is about trying to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to get there. We're just trying to get there. We're trying to dig and trying to get there. And that's what Yitzhak was. Yitzhak was a Karban. What is a Karban? Karban, as the Rishonim point out, comes from the Lashon of Kirvan. We try to get close. We're trying to get closer. We're trying to get closer to God. Lashon Hakrava. And Rashi later on in Bereishis points out when Rachel had Naphtali, Vatomer Rachel Naftule Elokim Niftalti Machosi Gam Yecholti Tikrash Mo Naphtali. So what is this expression of Naftule Elokim Niftalti? What is that expression? And Rashi explains that what is Naftule Elokim? What is the language of Naftule? Says Rashi, from a lashon of machberes, of chibur, and he quotes the pasuk, tzamid pasil, right? We know from later on in Bamidbar, tzamid pasil means a titan, it's tightened. So what does naftule mean? It means nischabarti machos. And then Rashi explains niftalti niskabalti tfilasi. But the idea that naftule comes from the word litchaber, to attach. Tefillah means litchaber, to attach, to get close, to attach, like to dig under the wall and try to get close to God. That's the language of tefillah, milashon chibur. Through tefillah, we're mechaber, we're mischaber with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are we in Schabar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah? So, we know that we daven three times a day, sometimes four times. And that through davening, and through talking to God, we make Hashem more real in our lives. And we make that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. The first time Yitzhak davened, what's the expression used? First time Yitzhak davened. Lasuach basadeh, right? And the Gemara says in Brachas, Ein sicha ela tefillah. It's just so interesting. Right? Yitzhak, the paradigm of tefillah. The language used is not the language that I would have chosen. Sicha? What's a sicha? What's sicha in Hebrew?
Conversation.
Right? Socheah, to converse. But I think that's the point. The idea that Yitzhak was lasuach basadeh means that for him, tefillah was a conversation with God. It was real. For us, davening is davening, and then we converse with our friends. And the two are very different. we daven, we hardly have an idea of what we're doing. It's hard for us to focus. But when I talk to you, Nachman, I talk to you every day. Like, it's easy. I know you're here, right? You're like my friend. We're talking, right? I don't have to like conjure up some idea. Like, imagine you're here. Here you are. For Yitzchak, Sicha. Feel a sicha. It's like I was talking to Josh. Is it difficult? Do you find it difficult, Josh, to talk to me? Maybe, but don't say that. I mean, it's real. It's a conversation. Sicha. There's a connection. There's a chibur. It's a connection, right? For the avos, for Yitzchak, the amunat tefillah wasn't like, oh my goodness, I'm really trying to focus and get to the point where I can imagine that maybe there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I can talk to him. No. It's a conversation. It was a sicha. It was a conversation. It was a discussion. I once mentioned this to one of my friends, and he pointed out that it's interesting. We say, Yafa sichas and shalav di avos, right? Yosir from like even like the most important sukkahs and shas in Torah. So it's interesting. Yafa sichas. The beauty is that in the sicha, even Eliezer, the Avdi Avos, it was a conversation with God. Read the last week's parsha. It wasn't like this major tefillah where he stopped. It was like, no, that, like, he was going to, it was a conversation with God. God, just help me out here. Like, it was part of his death. It was a sicha. Yafa sichasa. It was a sicha. The Kuzari has the most unbelievable thing. Look at the Kuzari Mamar Gimel, and he talks about tefillah. It's unbelievable. He says, you know, for us, tefillah is sometimes burdensome. But like he says, that, you know, tefillah for the neshama is like food for the good. So, you know, most of us usually start our day with breakfast, of course, today. For some reason, they didn't like us today. And we're suffering, and our stomach is telling us that we didn't eat breakfast. And we're waiting for breakfast, and we need it. And when we finish breakfast, and it's like a couple hours later, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about lunch. And then we think about supper. And then for most of us, like, you know, when we get that midnight snack. Our body tells us that, you know, we need that food. It says the Kuzari that the three prayers that we do every day is like breakfast, lunch, and supper for our neshama. And the longer stretch you go without tefillah, the more neshama craves for tefillah. You read it. The Kuzari, it's like, sounds like this, like, I'm a wild, crazy thing. The Kuzari, right? One of the great philosophers. You read it. He says, the longer, chalash atirchak, esa tefillah, right? Mehanefesh, hi holechas v'kodes. Like it's difficult to go on. Like, you're hungry. You can't move on without it. Because it becomes part of, it's so much part of your day. It's like eating breakfast, eating lunch. You need that energy, that fuel to keep you going. So Kuzari says, that was Yitzchak. Rav Kook writes something very interesting, which doesn't necessarily jive with it. It's interesting, if you know what he means. But Rav Kook says, in fact, unbeknownst to us, are neshamos. Are davening throughout the day. I don't know how to explain what that means, or of course the saying, but I mean, there's this idea that we crave the connection. And that was Yitzchak. It was a sicha. It was a sicha. It was a chibur. My brother Shlita, different brother, my brother Shlita, Akiva, many brothers of Hashem. Akiva once pointed out to me in this week's parsha. Later on, when they were digging the well, everyone knows the story, right? That Vayachbu Rab the Yitzchak, and they found Mayim Chaim, and then they stuffed it up, right? And he called the first bear Esek, and then Vayachbu Bear Acheres, and there was a fight about that. Vayikras Shmo Sitna, and then again Vayetak Misham Vayachbu Bear Acheres, and they didn't fight, and he called it Rechovos, right? That's what it says. So, if you look carefully, something so interesting by the three times it says that they dug. Vayach, Baruch. Right? It says in Pasuk Yutas, you look it up, Parak Chavav Pasuk Yutas, it says Vayach Baru Avde Yitzchak. Chavav Vayach Baru Be'er Acheres. Chav Beis, it says Vayach Por Be'er Acheres. Chav, listen carefully. Do you see the difference? What happened? What happened in the third time? No, Chav, what happened? What? Lashon Yachid. What happened? Vayach Por. So what happened? So the first one explained that when you want to do something and you want it to be done, do it yourself. Do it yourself. Vayach Por Avde Yitzchak. What happened? He sent his avadim, and they plural, they dug those wells, but like Lamaisa, they didn't have kiyum. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they messed up. They got into a fight. Didn't have kiyum. Again, Vayachpor didn't have kiyum. Vayachpor means Yitzchak himself went and he dug on his own. Vayachpor be'acheres, it had kiyum. It had kiyum. And Avodas Hashem, we know that Chafiras, Avodas, Ramban, and many say that it represented much more than just like digging a well. Chafiras, Avodas was digging something very deep. Deep in ourselves. Digging of tefillah. Vayetar from the Lashon Chatarta, of digging. There was digging going on. Like we began in the parsha, there was digging. Vayetar Yitzchak. There was digging going on. There was a purpose in trying to connect to this digging, Takash Baruch. This Be'er, this Be'eran Chayim. The Medrash explains the Be'er. It was the Memchas Be'eros in the Torah, Memchas Kinyanei Torah. There's something very deep going on with these Be'eros, these wells. And Vayachru, it didn't work. Until Vayachpor. So Yitzchak Avinu got down, he did it himself, he worked at it himself. He did it himself. When you do it yourself, it works. As we know, Rashi says in Bereishis that if you want to get better, daven for yourself. More than anyone else who davens for you. Do it yourself, daven yourself. Do the voice of Hashem yourself. There's a story, a beautiful story, about the two children of the Morinai. I forgot their names. He had two sons. They're both great rabbis, great tzaddikim, both Bali Mofis, tremendous people. And the older one was known as a great personality, but everyone knew that the brachos of the younger one was more powerful. And they were having their party, you know, they're playing basketball together, whatever it was, the two brothers were together, and the older brother said, you know, what's the secret? How come your brachos always get answered? I have a harder time. He said the most unbelievable thing. I'll tell you my secret. I'll tell you where you went wrong. When you meet with someone, and someone has a hard problem, a hard issue, he's struggling. When you meet with that person, what do? You sit down. You give him a cup of tea. You talk to him. Make him feel good. You say, I'll doubt him for you. It's going to be okay. Worry. Give him a big bracha. The whole thing and the davening and everything's gonna be fine. And they walk out, you feel great. And they know it's gonna be great. Because the Rebbe is gonna daven. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fine. When I meet with the person who's crushed, the person who's depressed, who's oppressed, who's poor, who's downtrodden, struggling in financially and any with everything. You know what I do? I call him. I say shalom. Nice to meet you. Have a good day. And I send them on their way. And when they walk out of my door and they realize that I was the last stop. Turn to God and say, God, you gotta help me. The Rebbe's not helping me. You gotta help me. Vayachpor be'er acheres. Vayachpor loshen tefillah. You have to make it like there's nothing else that's gonna work. There's nothing else that's going to work. To say, oh, no, I have someone else to rely on. And that level of tefillah, it's a whole new level. The sikh, the chibur of tefillah, of Yitzhak Avinu being the omina tefillah, it's a whole new level. Torah, we have a vote. Do you have time for Gemilas Chassadim?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's just start.
Maybe next year we'll talk about the Amud of Chassid and how it relates to this week's Parsha. Come back to you, maybe you'll invite me back next year for Parsha's told us. I have it all there already. Okay, so everyone should have a good Chodesh, a good day, a good Shabbos. Okay, thank you for listening. I'm sorry about the food again. I'm coming now.